If you want to start with subscription, I think there's a couple of simple things. Like one is, like, is there actually a demand for subscription on the product that you're offering? Shaving is still, for a lot of people, a recurring task. Not everyone is shaving every day, but people are shaving quite frequently and also different body parts. So there is always a need for certain razors. Then secondly, it is really understanding how this customer journey works.
Hey everyone, welcome to What's Ecoming. Today we're talking about subscription-based e-commerce. For this, we're diving into the world of grooming and shaving with a company that's revolutionizing the way men approach their daily routines. Joining us today is Luke from Bald King, a trailblazer in the shaving industry, known for their unique subscription model. Today we're gonna hear all the ins and outs, how they run their super successful e-commerce business. So, Paul, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. And how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks. So today we're going to talk about e-commerce and subscription models in e-commerce. What are some of the brands you think are doing this pretty well?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of great examples of subscription businesses. I think the guest of today, of course, Bald King, very inspirational for us, was the first in the Netherlands to do a subscription-based commerce. But we have also a lot of clients and a lot of examples that are doing a great job. One of them is, of course, Fussy, the deodorant brand from the UK. We have Parfumado from the Netherlands selling us a perfume subscription. But also in the States, there are great examples like Ritual, one of my favorite brands, the vitamin subscription brand.
It's quite an interesting business model because the customer lifetime value is quite long if you bring a new customer in.
Yeah, I think that's also the big advantage of it. You see now where acquisition costs are rising. And if you sell commodity products like perfumes, shaving products, or deodorant, then it's almost you need to have like a bigger lifetime value of your client. Otherwise, it's really hard to make or build a successful brand. And I think with subscription, it's way easier to scale the whole model.
And are there any other benefits you could think of when selling your products on a subscription base?
Yeah, of course, the lifetime value is number one, I think, but also retention. You really can build a relationship with your clients. If you look at Parfumado, every time you stay there for an extra 3 months, you get like a special gift. So they really build like a long-term relationship with their clients.
Nice. I'm curious today to hear from Bald King what their insights are. So today we have a special guest in the podcast, Luc van Emmerik, and he's the CMO at Bald King. Bald King has been one of the first subscription services in the Netherlands and have been building out their business quite successfully in the last couple of years. Today, Luc's going to tell us a little bit more about the brand, its approach, and its challenges. Welcome, Luc. Great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, great. Thanks, guys, for inviting me.
So maybe there are some people listening that have never heard of Bald King. Can you tell a bit more about the brand and its origins?
Yeah, so Bald King, it's actually a challenger shaving brand. Shaving, so handle and razor, but also everything that comes with shaving, like foams and face creams. It started 10 to 11 years ago on a subscription-only basis, but has been developed over the last years.
And I remember when Bald King came to the Netherlands, I think we were just starting out our agency and we were amazed about Bald King being one of the first movers, or actually the first movers, in subscription models. Can you tell a bit more why Bald King decided to take that route when they started?
Yeah, I think when Bald King started, there were a couple of trends happening, not only on the internet, but also in terms of e-commerce. And it was a time where more and more brands started to change to much more consumer-facing products and directly purchasing. And another trend that was happening in the market, the shaving trend itself started to develop as well. So where in the past, everyone was always focused on wet shaving, we started to realize that the change in habits also required a new way of approaching shaving, and that is why subscription came, but also the focus on the razor and the flexibility of it that we applied.
And so we've also built some subscription brands later than when Bold King started, and we know it's quite hard in the Netherlands because a lot of customers use Ideal.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about the technical stack that Bold King has also for subscriptions?
Yeah, so the platform has been built completely in-house from the start. Subscription was a focus, but there was also a focus on keeping the product affordable for the majority of the people. If you look into the shaving industry, it has been dominated by a small group of brands years over years. Actually, they created almost the shaving industry itself. And by having the subscription model in combination with a strong tech that was being focused and tailored to one thing only, and that was helping you to get your razor at home and the moment you need it, I think we were able to keep the price down, and therefore also having the stack in combination with indeed Ideal payments, but also like directly recurring payments, triggering it and giving the customer basically the seamless experience so that you never had to think about your supply of razors anymore, is I think where the success lies.
Yeah, it's really impressive. We've been in the talks, of course, with your team about maybe migrating from the custom stack to Shopify.
Yeah.
Can you maybe elaborate on why you are thinking about it?
Yeah, so I think it's very simple because if you look into Shopify itself, it has been developed so much over time. There's no way that you basically can do the work that those like 5,000 developers do on a daily basis. And also where we started basically from a subscription-only brand, we also see that there is becomes more of an ask for not only subscription, but also single buys. Yeah. So with Shopify, we believe that we can tailor these different customer journeys that we need to tackle towards the future, that we can better service it basically. And that's why we now, changing the stack towards Shopify environment.
And the custom built stack you currently have was built by one of the founders, right?
It has been built by one of the founders.
That's
still
so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So Thibaut is still active in the business, working closely with him on all the changes that we do on the platform, from content, but also product pages, etc. But as said, like the platform from the start has been built to serve a subscription. And now as we're, as a brand are changing, there's so much work basically coming with, tailoring this customer journey, the customer needs, but also like all the data infrastructure behind it, etc., which Shopify has a perfect solution for.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting move because it was so hard to go with subscriptions. It used to be so hard to build on a subscription platform in Europe. And now it's getting, or we see it's getting easier in the with the new tools around there. And what would be your advice if you start today with a subscription business?
I think if you want to start with subscription, I think there's a couple of simple things. Like one is like, is there actually a demand for subscription on the product that you're offering? Shaving is still for a lot of people a recurring task. Not everyone is shaving every day, but people are shaving quite frequently and also different body parts. So there is always a need for certain razors. Then secondly, it is really understanding how this customer journey works. So for us, for example, we figured that the majority of the people is actually shaving too long with one razor, right? Because you never get the advice on, hey, maybe it's not sharp enough anymore, or maybe like it's not clean enough, and then you get like rashes or irritations, or you might have cuts, etc., which is always the case but it can happen when you're when you're shaving yourself. But it's I think then understanding when and why people are buying it, and that's also why we're now changing a little bit from like subscription only towards more omnichannel, because there is different buying profiles, there's different needs in the markets, which comes to shaving. And I think, understanding that will help you to also understand what type of subscription you need to offer, right? Because there's a lot of different variations that you can use. It can be very strict, like every month you get it, or you can have different intervals, or you say, hey, I'll make it as flexible as possible. What you now see a lot as well is on the subscription basis that the subscription comes with premiums, right? You get certain discounts on other items in the assortment, or you get a certain discount on the product itself if you use subscription, etc. And I think that is that is that in the end comes with what the customer wants in combination with the product you're offering.
Yeah, and if we zoom a bit more in on the omnichannel approach, can you tell listeners a bit more about what the different elements are of the omnichannel approach?
Yeah, so first of all, like Bolt King was back in the days only available via our own platform. We changed it from subscription to single buy as well. And now we're also available, for example, in retail. And with retail, the customer journey becomes completely different. So that also means that, for example, on your packaging, which was for us completely tailored to e-commerce, people landed on the website, they digested the information, they know what they're buying. And if you're going to, let's say in Atos, where our razors are available, you can't just believe, or you can't just have the expectation that people know about your brand and what your brand stands for, etc. So you directly have to tweak this information from a platform to a packaging, right? Where space is limited, where you have to basically onboard them on where you stand for as a brand, how your razor is working, where it is for, etc. So it comes with a completely different mindset. And having the both in one business is sometimes quite a puzzle, which we're still trying to figure out ourselves from time to time as well. I think we have quite some knowledge about the shaving industry, how it works, how people are using our razors, but retail and having that on sale moment when someone stands in front of the shelf, it's different than just having a landing page and converting people to the checkout.
And how is it going in physical retail? So can you tell a bit more like when you launched, as well as like how you have seen it picked up over time?
Yeah, so in retail, we launched a little over a year ago. And we are now in physical stores from both Atos as Albert Heijn. So nice. There's a lot of doors in the Netherlands that people can walk in and find our products, which of course is a huge benefit. And we also see that we really conquered the shelf and now have a very stable position in both stores. Saw our sales like increasing over a year, and also working very closely with both retailers to make sure that we can keep growing. We are now actually changing our packaging, as said, like more tailored to the retail experience, and also like towards the measurements of Atos, for example, which will help us to have a better visibility, but also a better customer experience in store.
I can imagine that from like a digital native mindset with the focus on D2C and subscriptions moving into retail, that probably comes with challenges. What is like one of the main challenges you've seen and how?
It always comes with challenges because like when you're the owner of your own sales channel, like nobody cares, well, you should care about like how the growth goes, etc. But when you're working with retailers, they also look at their numbers, right? So we have to perform and we have to do everything to bring revenue to those stores as well. Of course, as Bolt King, we benefit from it equally, but it is important for them to understand, hey, what are you doing to keep the revenue per square meter, basically, as efficient as possible. And that is something that comes with different dynamics. It comes with adjusting all the time, working on how you tailor the journey to the customer. But it also comes to, hey, how do we translate the data that we have from the customers that always tend to buy online? And how do we deploy that on offline buying profiles, basically? Yeah. Does that mean that someone else starts to buy the razor for the household, or a mom for their kid or whatsoever, which is completely different than someone just landing on your platform, which you can also tailor with different advertising, etc., turn on and off again, where in retail you normally work with specific weeks that you can do something.
And so for the retail, I find it quite interesting because you started like this omnichannel approach with I think two of the biggest retailers in the Netherlands, Atos and Albert Heijn.
Yeah.
How did you get in contact with them and how were you able to close a deal with them?
Yeah, I think like I wasn't part of the deal making myself, but I think it shows the power of a brand like Bolt King. I think what we did really well over the last years is that we really found the market share that was very strong, and that a lot of people started to change from using different brands and starting to actually buy Bolt King. And that, of course, that is what retail saw as well. And at a certain point, of course, customers start to ask, hey, are you selling Bolt King razors as well? And then, yeah, if you can get in contact with them and having the right contacts, of course, there within their internal organization, yeah, conversation started. And I think what Bolt King does really well is like still the price point is pretty good. And we're a very young brand that also brings different types of customers to their stores, right? So it is a younger brand. And for Ethos, for example, this is quite interesting because we actually saw people going to the Ethos stores, buying Bolt King products, which normally might not be thinking about going into those stores.
And now, so because Bolt King is already quite international, if the online platform at least, and now you use the omnichannel strategy for the Netherlands, for Albert Heijn and Ethos.
Yeah.
And what's like, what's the vision, or what's the, like, what, how do you envision the internationalization of the omnichannel strategy?
Yeah, so we strongly believe that the omnichannel strategy is not only applicable to the Dutch market. It's something that we will embed in our strategy towards the other markets that we are in as well. And that means that we are now currently investigating which retailers we should work with in the different markets. We already work, for example, with Rossmann, which is one of the bigger pharmacies in Germany, which we are not live yet in store, but for example, are available on their online platform as well. And so there are a couple of others that we're currently talking to see if we can get our products on shelf.
Yeah. And so if the customers buy the product in the retailers, how do you get them back to the online platform, or is that not part of the?
It is part of the journey in a way that we, of course, try to get the information on the packaging, how people can contact us or how they can visit like our web store, etc. So this is one, but you have to be very transparent about the fact that if the customer decides to buy in retail because they just do it in combination with buying their shampoos and other things in an offline store, that's fine, right? So we just like it, the availability is important, and then understanding which certain profiles are buying online and offline. And of course, if you can bring them to your online store and have them like experiencing a broader arrangement of products or whatsoever, that is amazing. And that's of course always what we aim for. But you also have some profiles that just buy a razor once a month in store.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's also okay, right?
And that's also okay.
Yeah, I remember I was one of the first customers with Bolt King, where I got like a subscription for a couple of months when I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still have some of the razor blades because I don't shave that much anymore.
Yeah.
But I think, recently I also bought it again in, I think it was Albert Heijn.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. And I think being the brand that Bolt King is nowadays and the legacy it has in a market like the Netherlands, there's a huge awareness. And that is of course helping us to win our position in retail as well. And yeah, of course, like if you, for example, change your shaving habit, and you started to shave like less of your face, but maybe you're getting bald and you want to shave your head, or you want to shave your legs because you're doing road cycling or whatsoever. We also have a lot of female customers actually that prefer our razor over anything else in the market. That habit tailors towards like how you buy the product. And I think it's good that we have a razor that actually is shaped to shave all body parts. And that is how the customers are using it. And if you now go to Albert Heijn and you see it and you just put it in your basket once a week when you go there, or you fill it up and have enough razors for the next month, that is how you consume the product. And I think we shouldn't try to change that too much. I think we should just better understand why you're doing it and making sure that we can tailor you in those needs.
Yeah. And I can imagine, because if your product is in so many retail stores, it's also kind of a marketing channel almost.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an influence when people like when you started the omnichannel approach and with the, for example, the online marketing spend, that it went became cheaper or something like that?
Not necessarily cheaper, because of course, like doing the campaigning, for example, we saw for TV, for example, which is a very strong channel for Bolt King. Yeah. And that in combination with more points of sale helps, of course, the efficiency of search channels. But as said earlier as well, it also came with a different buying profile. For people that not necessarily tend to buy online so often or don't want to have a subscription and now had the possibility to go to store and just get the product in their normal during their normal shopping streak, basically.
If we look a bit forward, you recently joined Bolt King.
Yeah.
Are there any exciting developments or improvements coming up in the coming months?
Well, I think... in parallel to all the developments we do now with the new platform, I think it will open up huge potential for us. We can do better segmentation. We can do better data collection in combination with working with landing pages, telling different stories towards the customer, but also being more educational than we have been in the past. We're also looking into how we can now reposition the brand a little bit to really differentiate ourselves in the market even more than we do right now. It always has been a very product-driven story. The flexibility of the razor is still an important one. But the razor itself, I think is tailoring the needs of the majority of shavers quite good. So now it's more about, okay, how do we make sure that we start to resonate with all those different lifestyles in society and place our product more into the daily life of the customers.
Looking at the future and also the future of Bolt King, so we know you're exploring maybe to switch to Shopify or use like a less custom stack. What other kind of technologies are key to success in the future?
Well, I think... if you look into Shopify and the stack that we can build around it, it will basically create like a full knowledge base from data structuring towards checkout, basically, and every time in circles. So we are super real because we are active in multiple markets. For example, the checkout is super crucial. So offering, for example, PayPal or Upsofort in Germany builds a lot of trust towards the end user. But it's not always the most seamless paying provider there is, right? So you really have to integrate it. And I think with a different tech stack and having the opportunity to create more seamlessness in the experiment or in the experience, I think that is what really will help us. So. Yeah, I think making this change is step one, and then building around it towards the future, based on the needs that we then month over month will develop, I think will be key.
Nice, thanks, Luke. It was great having you today.
Thanks so much, guys.
And, speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
We're super proud that our podcast is sponsored by Shopify. You probably know by now that we're big fans. We have been a Shopify Plus partner for over 5 years, and it's simply the best, most forward-thinking e-commerce platform in the world. And with every episode of the series of What's E-Coming, we're giving away a free Shopify consultation. If you have a Shopify store and you want expert tips on how to improve and optimize your store, please go to podcast.askphil.com and fill in your email address. Our expert team of Shopify consultants will sit down with you for 30 minutes, giving you great insights into making the best from your store. Once again, go to podcast.askphil.com. Fill in your email address and we'll get in touch with the lucky winner. Good luck. So thanks for listening today. Please like and subscribe to our podcast channel in your favorite podcast app. See you next time.